got much accomplished for our Lord and Savior. And we will refuel tonight and then head back out on the battlefield again for some more work for tomorrow. When you find your scripture there in Psalm chapter 51, let us make our reading quickly. And then we'll have another word of prayer, asking God to bless his time. And then we'll be on our way. Psalm chapter 51. This is a psalm of David as he is dealing with his sin nature. And we will join along on his journey as he confesses and repents, trying to extract some very useful information for ourselves tonight. Psalm chapter 51, verse number 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make to know wisdom. Purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." You guys can say amen to that verse right there. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Lord, we ask your blessing once again upon tonight's message. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do your wonderful work and take these very frail lips, get across your most important message tonight. Lord, bring us to a point of decision, and then bring us to a point of action that we would be better Christians, better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 51, and you've reviewed it before. You're well acquainted with this passage of Scripture as David deals with his sin nature. We find him, and thankfully so, being convicted and then doing business with God, which I pray that you and I are well accustomed with. I don't know about you, but this is a great passageway for you and I to deal with our sin nature. David, and I don't want to say this in comparison, but David was dealing with some pretty heavy things that he had done and was dealing with them, and not out of fear of judgment or punishment and not out of promises of success, but David literally was dealing with his sin because of a relationship with God. And we know this, that sin breaks our Savior's heart. It breaks our heart as well through guilt. And tonight, we're going to investigate this, but David was doing some self-examination in his life. How many of you like just love taking exams? Anybody here? Okay, one person. Thank you for being honest. And then literally for like exams, it's a test, right? And so it's testing your knowledge on that which you've studied, that which you've reviewed and retained. But for David, this was one test that he had to pass, for sure. And honestly, we've been involved in some of those tests before, right? Like your driver's test. You can't not pass your driver's test. You got to do it eventually. Some people fail once or a multiplicity of times. Eventually, they'll give you your driver's license, I think. You know, there's the bar exam. There's medical exams. These are things that you have to do. I remember when I was graduating from college, I didn't fully comprehend this, but until like the very last portion of my senior year, and they said, "Hey, you better study up. You've got religious comps." And I said, "What?" They said, "Religious comps. That means a huge test over the 4 years that you've been here." And I said, "Why am I learning about this right now?" And they said, "You have to." You have to pass this or you don't get your diploma. What? I don't get my diploma? I said, "Now, wait a second. So what is this going to cover? And he said, I told you the 4 years. And I said, you're joking, right? He's like, no, seriously. Everything that you've learned over the last 4 years here at Bible College, we're going to test you over. And literally, my heart like sank. My jaw was on the concrete. So I said, Lord, like, it's just you and me on this one, right? This is when you get right with the Savior. I am sorry for everything I've ever done in college. I need you to bring this back to my mind so I can pass this test. And so I remember the last couple weeks, I was studying like crazy. And that they never let you know, like, the percentage. It's either, here's your diploma, or you better take the test again. Well, I got my diploma. I passed, which I was very thankful for. But that's a test. You have to have a pass. And here's David. He's literally doing a self-examination, a test on his nature and what was going on in his life. And David's response to his own sin nature was one of confession. The Lord was giving him forgiveness. Now, though you and I cannot identify with this specific sin that he was dealing with, we can identify with our own sin nature. And one of the greatest things that surfaced, and one of the greatest forces of God in our relationship with him, is conviction. How many of you have ever sat behind or in front of this pulpit or other pulpits, and you knew the Holy Spirit was just simply working on your heart? Have you ever thought this before, that the pastor is speaking directly to you? And you're like, all right, put your gun down, pastor, please. You shot me enough today. And the Lord's working on your heart, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you. And I love this about our pastor. He brings out application from God's word, and then in a very quiet but very beautiful fashion, he starts to ask questions at the end of the message. And these are invitations. These are invitations to make decisions. Now, we've been through a ton of invitations, you and I, right? You've been through the invitation that lasts like 72 stanzas of a hymn, like, I know there's somebody out there. I know. And you're like, all right, fine, it's me. All right, let's get this over with and shut the service down. I'm just being silly here. And then there's the message that God's convicting your heart. And you know the Holy Spirit is working. And whatever program and whatever protocol the church has, either you come to the front or you do business with God right there in your seat, and it's a beautiful thing. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart, convicting you of needed areas of transformation. And you make a decision, and then activity follows those decisions. And that's what David was involved with. Now, I mentioned this earlier just briefly, but sin breaks God's heart. We know that because he loves us. It breaks communication. It breaks our hearts. It breaks our focus. It delivers guilt to us, breaks our spirits, causes all kinds of calamity and destruction and consequences in our lives. And interestingly enough, as we dive into this portion of Scripture, David already knew what he had done was wrong. Nobody had to teach him anything. The Holy Spirit was on him. And the conviction over the murder and the adulterous acts and the lying and all the posturing and staging that he had been doing, and we find him in a place of repentance. And so David brings out two requests that we find here in Scripture. I read briefly through them, but we'll review them here in a second. And these are requests that you and I should have present in our lives as well. He says this, Lord, create in me a clean heart and wash me with a hyssop. Renew a right spirit within me. And rightfully so. On a Wednesday night, these are great things for you and I to talk about. These are great prayers that you and I can offer to God, saying, Lord, I need you to clean my heart. I need you to wash me. I need you to purge me. I need you to do a work in my heart and in my life. Now, I think everybody here knows, and if you don't know, I'll tell you what I do for my 9-to-5, my daily. So I'm in construction, and in a little bit of a niche of construction, we renovate very distressed homes. That's just what we've been doing for the last 20 years. I find it interesting, and it's kind of very gratifying in a weird way to see a home that's been just completely abandoned for years upon years upon years, and then you turn it into something beautiful. And a beautiful family moves in, and they get to utilize it, which, you know, provides a great level of gratification too. That it sounds really simple. I said that in like 30 seconds, but there's an awful lot of work for sure. And what's interesting to me, this happens to me probably about 2 to 3 times a day during my normal work day, is I'll have invitations from people to say, hey, Bob, can you please come over to this house and please look it over? We need a budget. We need a renovation. And we want you to take a look at this. And to be honest with you, 20 years in the business, there's really nothing I feel like I haven't seen. And I think that you would enjoy going on these journeys with me because they are out of this world. I can't even explain it to you. I'll give you the last episode that I was involved with, and that was last Friday. There was a home, and this happens very frequently. The lady was incredibly embarrassed about her home, but it was packed. I mean packed. I'm like walking like a path through the house. And so she invited me over. It was a her father's home who had just recently passed away. And she wanted to have it renovated and put it back up on the market to rent or sell, whatever she's going to do. And so I walked into the house, and it was literally just a couple paths, a path to the bedrooms, a path to the bathroom. And for some reason, the guy was collecting toilet paper for some reason. I just have this impregnated in my mind. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, I think that there is probably 1,000 rolls of toilet paper there. In the basement, in the bathroom, in the tub, absolutely everywhere. I mean, stuff was everywhere. It wasn't rancid. It was just packed full of stuff. And so she said, I want you to come down to the basement. And again, she's apologetic. She's so, you know, so sorry. And she's like, you know, this is my dad. He was a pack rat. And I said, it's no big deal. I'm fine with it. We went down to the basement. You know, there's toilet paper down there, right? And just packed full of tools and mechanical things. And we got up to the main floor again. And she said, so I need your help. And I giggled just a little bit. And we giggled together. And I said, yeah. I said, we can definitely turn this place around without a problem. We've done this a million times. And she said, what I'm going to do this weekend, which was this past weekend, we got a big weekend. She goes, I'm going to clear this place out. And I said, okay. And she said, it's going to be me and my sister and my brother. We're going to clean this out. I got a dumpster coming. And I said, I know this like the back of my hand. You probably have about 300 man hours getting this place so you can see the floor and get the cabin. It's all cleaned out and all that. And she said, well, 300 man hours? There's only 3 people here. And I said, so you let me know on Tuesday morning, give me a text or call. You let me know if you got this place cleaned out. And I said, you know, if everything works out, and we'll be ready to go. And so I got a text on Tuesday morning, bright and early. And she said, well, to our estimation, we got about 1/16th of the project out of there. We got a little quadrant of the basement done. And she said, I'm going to try my best this week. I just replied back to her. I said, hey, we'll be happy to help. If you need the manpower, you need the help, we'll be happy. The point of the illustration is this. It is very, very difficult trying to clean up our own lives. It doesn't happen. You can try. You can work. You can put the hours in. You can do the best that you can. But I will tell you this. It is not our job. It is God's job. And that's why David goes to the man who says, Lord, I need you to do something in my heart that I can't do, and that's clean me. Wash me. Make me whiter than snow. I can try, but I'm not going to be able to succeed in this process. So I turn to you. And that was one of the requests that David had. Create in me a clean heart, dear God. I am tired of living the life that I previously was. Renew a right spirit within me. And the way that God does this in our lives is to take area by area by area and begin to clean. And he begins to work on the corridors of our lives, and he begins to work in other facets. And sometimes we try to quarantine God by saying, hey, listen, you can work in this area because I need help. But this area, I'm fine. And the Lord says, no, my job is to clean, and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to work through all the facets and the closets in every area of your life because that's what I do. And David turned, obviously, to the right place. And then he says, by way of prayer and by way of crying, restore my joy and restore my relationship and let the Holy Spirit work in my heart once again. Now, I don't want to exaggerate this illustration, but I can get Pentecostal in about 10 seconds when I think about God's wonderful work in transforming a sinner to a saved individual following the Spirit of God. That is an incredible work. And here's David who says, Lord, I was bathed in sin. I was making decision after decision after decision against your will, breaking your heart. But he says, Lord, I need you to clean me. I need you to wash me. And he goes, Lord, there's something that I'm missing. I want you to restore unto me something that I cherish. Something that I count very valuable, and that's the joy of my salvation. Restore the relationship. Restore the Holy Spirit's work in my life. And so those are the two requests that he has. And then he has two offers as well. Back here in chapter 51, in verse number 15, it says, Lord, open my lips that my mouth may show forth thy praises. So two things that he offers the Lord. He says, Lord, after I'm transformed, after I have confessed and had repentance and pardon of my sin, he said, I want you to use me to show others how good you are. Lord, I want you to use me to show others how good you are. Now, I don't know if you've ever come in contact with one of these individuals that cannot stop talking about how good God is. Have you ever been with one of these people before? Whether they're recently saved or maybe the transformation in their life has been utterly dramatic. Like, I literally just rubbing shoulders with them, thinking to myself, you know what? The Lord did that for me too. I'm just not as verbal. I'm just not as excited. But David says, Lord, I want you to take my life and through this transformation and through this difficulty that I've placed myself in, I want you to use my lips to show forth your praises. I want to let other people know you're good and that you have this miraculous transformative power. He also makes another offer to God. He says, I want you to use my life to show sinners how they can be transformed. Now, I've been through lots and lots of counseling sessions with individuals and with people, and I myself have been involved in counseling sessions. And it is wonderful how powerful God's word actually is. I'll say that again so it'll give you a chance to let that soak in, and then you can say amen if you want to. I know this is Wednesday night, but it is amazing how powerful God's word actually is. And I'm humbled when God's word is opened up on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night. On a Sunday, I'm humble thinking these passages of Scripture have not only transformed my life, but they've transformed your lives as well. They've pulled us out of the miry clay. They've transformed David and his relationship with God. And you know what? David had a request and an offer. He says, let other sinners know that they can be transformed as I have been as well. Now, there's three things that we need in order to battle sin. I got just a couple minutes left, and that is confession. Confession is simply this. It's an honest look at our sin. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that have been blessed with the spiritual gift of letting other people know how they've sinned. Have you ever come in contact with somebody like that? I mean, they've got their PhD in knowing other people's problems. They can point out their sin. They can point out other people's sin. They can point out everything. But when it comes to their own life, it's not really that bad. They use the tool of comparison. Well, I'm not as bad as this person. I mean, look at us. I'm just not that bad. And so confession is certainly different than that. It's an honest look at our own sin. And it's literally the first step. Letting God know that we are wrong. It's stopping life. It's addressing your issues and your decisions with God. And we're going to find out it's turning away as well. 1 John 1:9, you know this verse. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful, He's just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, there's that word again, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah for that. Praise the Lord. That's His work in our lives. When we confess, the Lord turns around and He begins to forgive us of our sins. Now listen, confession is only the first step, but you can't stop there. I teach and my wife helps out. We teach a class on home builders, and we don't have this down at all, for sure. If you're in our class, you know, like we're all kinds of human, and we've reared 6 kids. They're not perfect, for sure. Their parents are not perfect, for sure. And we love on people who've got kids. We're home builders. That's it. And so one of the things while dealing with children, we've got so many years of service in. We've got 6 kids. It's been a circus, but it's been super fun, for sure. And I can remember confronting our children. Did you do this? Yes. Okay, well, that's the first step. You confess. We got that out. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. There's no transformation in confession. Now, if you came to me and you said, hey, Bob, I know you're a sinner. I confess, you got me, I'm a sinner. There's no transformation in confession. The Lord says if we do confess, He's in the business of forgiving of our sins. But I got to tell you, confession is just the first step. You know what's next? That's repentance. That's turning our back on that which we've done. So confession without repentance literally does nothing. Confession, if you're involved in confession, you're still in sin. You're still dirty. You're still bound by sin. You're still stuck. Jonah is a great example. Do you remember he was on the boat, the tumultuous waters, the sea? And his shipmates confront him. And they say, hey, bud. Well, they didn't say that. Not in the King James. They said, Jonah, are you running from God? And you know what he does? He confesses. Yep, that's me. You got me. I'm running from God. And so Jonah offers them a solution. You might as well take me, my body, and just whip it overboard. And so they're like, good call. All right. Well, we've got a game plan together now. But you know what? Confession didn't change his heart. There was a period of time where Jonah still struggled, spent like ungodly amounts of time in the belly of a fish. And then God got a hold of his heart. So I'm telling you today, confession is not the magic pill, but repentance is. He confessed. Genuine transformation, genuine change happens after repentance. And if you've reared children, you know that that's the case as well. People can confess, but it doesn't mean that they're going to change their hearts. Doesn't mean that there's a change of program, a change of direction. And you know what repentance is. It's so important in this equation of life. It's so important while you and I deal with our sin. Repentance requires putting off sin. Literally, like if I were to take off my coat, it literally is taking off this sin that you have. And and discarding it. And it's far beyond that of just taking it off. And there's so many things that we can talk about as far as repentance, as far as like turning your back on your activities or physically changing, doing like the spiritual U-turn. All this is very applicative, but I like the illustration of us like literally taking off that which we've done, and in response, we're putting on Christ. And again, this gets me super excited. Like, I get emotional over this stuff. When I see an individual that abandons their sin nature, they've abandoned their former activity and all the consequences that go with it, and they put on Christ. And then they show up in our service. and they're hungry for God's word. And they're trying to make their new life work. And they're trying to understand scripture. And they're soaking in everything that pastor has. Aren't those people beautiful? Do those people get you excited? Like, they really get me excited. I've always been attracted to, like, the new face, the new individual, like, trying to figure out their story. But that's what repentance does. That's what it looks like. And there's really nothing better in this world than seeing that happen. It's happened to us, and it needs to happen to other people. And finally, the third thing that is needed in this dealing with sin is pardon. It's forgiveness. It's that seeking and requesting of forgiveness. And this psalm, if you dig in farther and read all the way through verse number 19, you'll find out that this is very descriptive of David, very descriptive of what he has done and his personality and how he is managing his repentance with his Savior. But it's really not what's important on what he's done. It's really not important like where he's at. What is very important is the nature of his Savior and the nature of our Savior. You see, our Savior, we find him in love with David here, right? We find David being very attracted to God's mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. And that truly is what Psalm 51 is. It's a beautiful picture of our God's nature, of our God's temperament, and how he is long-suffering and forgiving and merciful and graceful. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad our Savior is this way. When we deserve swift and quick punishment, our Lord is there, helping us deal with our sin nature. So one of these exams that you have to pass is this of sin. We were not made to go through this life struggling relentlessly with our sin nature. Turn it over to Christ. Turn it over to God. My friend, I pray that confession is something that you are well acquainted with. I pray that repentance, did I just say confession or repentance? Confession. All right, that was my first point. So we're still on target. Confession is something that you're very well acquainted with. But you know what? It's not the end of the road. Repentance is. You literally need to take off that which has you caught and bound and trapped and put on our Savior, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and experience his forgiveness. My friend, I don't know what God has for you tonight, but I do know that he has something, and I pray whatever it is that you'll do business with God tonight. What a wonderful, wonderful relationship that we have with him. As he has saved us, he has sanctified us, and someday we're going to meet this Savior face to face in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and thank you for the time that you've given us tonight. I pray that as we head into our prayer request time, dear Lord, that we would take these and focus in on them, and Lord, carry them with us throughout this week. We ask for your blessings now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.